this is Intoxicated Literature.
Hello! Welcome to Intoxicated Literature. I am Daniela Drake.
And I'm Evelyn Crow.
And we are here to discuss Angel's Blood by Nalini Singh.
This is actually one of my favorite urban fantasy series.
Yeah, I've read the whole thing, loved it.
I would say this is right up there on Paul with Alona Andrews.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah.
Urban fantasy.
I didn't know what I was getting into, and then I read the first one and just immediately found all the rest of the books that I could read.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yes, 100%. And I actually found this after I read her other series.
Oh, okay. I did the reverse. Interesting.
Everyone always recommends the other one first.
Oh, okay.
At least they did for me.
Yeah.
I can't remember the first book, but it's with the Psy Changeling
one
with the more shifter
Psy
one. But this one rang more true to me. This one I felt a stronger connection with.
Yeah, it's hard. The Psy Changeling series, like, it plays so much on the emotionless versus the, like, really emotional, which I think was harder for me to get into.
Yes.
Yeah. I did read that series as well.
Yeah.
But I did like this one better.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I really connected with this one more.
Yeah, that's fair.
This is going to be an interesting book to talk about because there's so much packed into this.
It. Yeah, absolutely. It's setting up so much.
It really is.
Yeah.
Because the world building that Miss Singh puts into this is
fascinating.
Fascinating.
It's so different and unique and so good.
Yes.
Like, she's really thought about how all of these parts work. So before we get into it, spoilers.
Spoilers.
Adult content.
Yep.
And lots of swearing.
Yep. Standard for intoxicated literature.
Yes. If you haven't figured it out.
This is how we do it. So
this is the
first episode that you have joined us for. We do all of those things.
We will spoil everything for you. So if you haven't read this book yet, push pause, go read the book, come back to us with a drink.
Yes. And what are we drinking tonight?
We are drinking Ambrosia.
Which is actually on par. We are doing thing drinks now.
It was also delicious.
It was so good.
I didn't expect to like it as much as I did.
I did not either. I thought it was going to be really, like, brandy-y.
Yes.
But the apple brandy and the brandy and the champagne worked really well together.
And this was exciting because we're actually in the same place.
I know!
And we got to go shopping for drinks together.
It was so fun.
So this is a little different.
Apparently this is like an annual thing. Like,
yes.
Once a year we get together and do a podcast, like, in the same room together.
So let's talk about Angel's Blood. Like, initial thoughts. I liked it. It's so interesting to me because when I think about the book, I think about how problematic Raphael is.
Well, okay, so it's funny. When I read the book initially, I really liked it.
Exactly.
I really liked
it.
Loved it. Immediately picked up book two and then ran with it.
100%.
And then when we decided to read it, I went back and went, okay, I'm going to read it again. I'm going to look at this. I'm going to look at everything. And then went, wait a minute.
Mm-hmm.
Raphael is really kind of problematic.
He's a little creepy.
He's kind of a creeper.
But, like, you don't care?
You really kind of don't.
It's so weird. And I think it's partly because we're reading from Elena's perspective a lot of the time.
And she doesn't mind that he's
a
creeper.
And she doesn't. And, like, and even she acknowledges sometimes she's like, he's being a little creepy.
Yeah.
But because he's an archangel, like, there's certain, like, social aspects that you just kind of know are going to be off.
I guess. Because in the society that they're living in, these archangels are above all.
They're so old.
They're old. They rule over everybody. They have, like, ultimate power.
And actually, Raphael is kind of a special case because he still walks among humans. Like, he's still very much involved in the day-to-day ruling of his territory.
Well, he's, like, the youngest archangel to ever be an archangel.
Yes.
So he's, like, young. He's, like,
very
a kid.
Young. Yes.
So he's like, I'm not going to be one of these, you know, old guys.
Well, he doesn't rule through fear. Like, he's very much like, I would say, like, more of a modern kind of, ruler.
He's in New York.
Right.
It's very cosmopolitan.
Yes.
So you're like, okay, sure.
Yeah. And even Elena, when she first meets, like, their first meeting.
Oh, my God.
Was so crazy.
I remember thinking, okay, so we have to know about, what we have to know about Elena is, of course, she has a traumatic past, because they all female always. Main characters always, in always. These urban fantasies, always yes. have to have a traumatic past.
Yeah.
Has a traumatic past. She is hunter-born, which yes. in this series means that she has...
heightened powers.
Heightened powers.
Yeah.
In this case, meaning she can scent vampires.
Yes.
And she has some strength yeah. and speed to fight these vampires and
so she's like
them.
A step and a half above, like, humans.
Humans.
Right?
But she's not, like, immortal.
Absolutely
She has
not.
A slightly lengthened lifespan, yes. but she's not, like...
She's still very delicate and frail.
Yeah. She's still human, essentially.
Yeah.
But she's not like, you know, but she's slightly above them.
Yes.
And she's been called to Angel Tower, as yes. they call it, to meet with an archangel.
Yes.
She goes to the rooftop, and there's this archangel at this table, set formally. And there's this guy, very attractive.
Super attractive.
Very hot.
Yeah.
And he's like, come have, you know, a meal with me. And immediately tries to mind control her.
Yes.
Like, almost immediately off the bat.
Yes.
And she's like, nope.
Not going for
not
that.
Not gonna
no,
do
thank
this.
You. Yeah.
And instead of holding the knife by the handle, is holding the knife by the blade.
Blade. Yeah.
And he's like, hold the knife by the handle, because you're just hurting yourself. And so instead of doing that, she just grips the knife by the blade
yeah.
even harder.
Yeah.
And is, like, injuring herself. And he's like, what the fuck are you doing? Let go of the knife.
Yeah. Yeah. But he also, like, sets a trap for her to yeah. see if her, like, to test her to yeah. see how good her, like, vampire hunting skills yeah. are. So he's like, these are brand new vampires that were just made a day ago. And let's see if you could really sense them. And she's like, yeah, I can. They're right there.
And like, they also what? Smell like rotten meat. It's right. not like it's a secret.
Yeah. It's like, what are you doing? And he's like, wow, okay, you're pretty good. I guess I'll hire you for this really horrible task that I need you to do.
Even though it's so obvious that they were there because they smell like rotten carrion. It's not like even a secret.
I know.
Like, what?
So that first meeting, like, all of us are going, what the fuck?
What?
Like, Elena, the audience, like, all of us are like, what is this guy's deal? Like, what is going on?
And then the job he hires her for is not for vampires.
No. It's for, like, some angel that's gone off the rails.
I know. And then you learn the most, like, the craziest shit about angels that nobody knows.
Yeah.
It's been the secret for millennia.
Yeah.
And that's how vampires are made.
And, like, literally, an angel lost his wings because he shared the secret with someone.
Yes.
Like it's lost. So secret, no one can talk about it.
Exactly.
Right? So, but I loved the world building in this.
Yes.
I thought it was really interesting the way that she brought it all together. The fact that there are these archangels that control certain territories in the world, the entire world.
Mm-hmm.
Raphael obviously is in New York, but he controls a huge swath of, like, North America.
I mean, most of North America, I think, is his territory.
So, and, like, they just, like, kind of divide it up between them, and they're all, like, in control of these places.
I remember when I suggested the series to you, you're like, oh, vampires. I don't like vampires.
I'm not into the vampire
thing. And I remember
thing.
Going, okay, but it's not really about vampires.
It's not, though. And that I do think that I appreciate the way that she, because it's a series about angels.
Yes.
And vampires are part of it because of the angels.
I know, because it's weird
it's
how she
so
does it.
It's funny.
It's different. It's different.
But I love it, too, because the vampires are, like, part of society. Like,
yeah.
they're not these, like, secret, in the shadows kind of people.
Yes.
Like, they are, they have jobs.
They have jobs.
They have families. Like, there's, like, all this stuff that are just, they're just... This is just another part of them.
And I remember trying to tell him, like, okay, they're vampires, but they're different.
Yeah. Yeah.
I couldn't explain it to you.
Yeah, I know.
I'm like, okay, but
because
yeah, they're vampires.
You can't explain it until you read it. It doesn't make sense.
I know. I'm like, okay, but they're vampires, but they're different.
I know.
You have to read it.
And it's funny, too, because, like, the first vampire you really meet is Dimitri.
Yeah.
And he, I mean, I'm sorry, even in this book, he's fucking awesome.
He is awesome, but he's also an ass.
He is an ass, and Elena calls him on it constantly.
I also appreciate that one of the first things that Elena does to Dimitri is, like, slit his fucking throat.
She's like, I'm done with you.
I'm like, I can't take you anymore, I'm gonna
Absolutely.
Stop it.
Yep. I know. And he's so mad.
He's so pissed off.
Because of course he doesn't die, because he's a vampire. She knows that he's not going to die.
He's an old-ass vampire. He's like one of the oldest vampires like in existence.
Yes.
And she knows it's not going to kill him, but she's like, I'm leaving, and you're going to let me leave.
Yeah.
You need to knock it the fuck off.
I know. She does it as, like, to teach him.
I know. It's like, you have no control over me.
Yeah.
I am leaving.
Yeah.
It's so good. It was awesome.
It was so good. I love Elena, actually, because she is mortal. Yes. And yes, she has, like, slightly heightened skills, but compared to these angels, she's a baby.
Yeah.
Like, she is so delicate and so fragile. But she's still just like, I'm not putting up with your shit. Like, what the fuck is wrong with you?
Yeah.
All the time. Like, calling them on it and being like, no, that's bullshit. I'm going to do my own thing.
I am in control of me.
Yeah.
I am me. I will do my own thing.
Exactly.
You do not get to tell me what to do.
Exactly.
And, like, Raphael, his whole shtick is that whatever woman he was involved with, even he had a harem at one point.
Yep.
Whatever. Any woman he was involved with, he protected and took care of.
Yep.
And she was like, nope.
No, I don't want that.
That is not me.
No.
You do not control me.
Exactly.
You do not protect me.
No.
I am me.
I don't need that.
I protect me.
Exactly.
That is not who I am.
Yeah.
And you need to come to terms with that, or I am not yours.
Mm-hmm.
That is how this is.
And it's hard for him to reconcile that, because he's fucking old.
He's so old.
But
by Archangel standards, he's young.
Yeah. Yeah. And by having her in the vicinity, and he starts to get feelings for her, and, like, it makes him slightly more mortal.
Which is interesting.
Yeah.
Because he's, like, able to be injured.
Mm-hmm. So, like, she shoots him at one point because he's being creepy as fuck.
Yeah.
And she's like, what is wrong with you?
He's, like, seducing her in his office.
Yeah.
And she's like,
no.
No, this is a work meeting.
Yeah.
Why are you sexually harassing me?
He goes to her apartment and freaks her the fuck out.
He's, like, hovering outside her apartment, like watching
and
her.
And, like, this is when he was, like, cold.
Yeah.
So, like, he doesn't have any emotions, which was also weird as hell.
I know.
And she's just like, you're freaking me the fuck out and you need to stop. And he doesn't. And so she shoots him.
Yeah.
And then he just keeps bleeding.
I know.
And she goes, what's wrong with you? And he's like, well, you.
Yeah.
And she goes, wait, what?
What? What are you talking about? And then instead of backing the fuck off, he buys her, like, the most rare rose in existence.
Like a diamond that has been carved into a rose.
Yeah.
And she sends it back the next day. She goes, I can't accept this.
What is this?
Inappropriate. What are you doing?
The fuck?
Yeah.
I love her so much.
Yeah, she's so good.
I love her so much. She gets it. She's like, nope.
Yeah, she does not like it.
I don't know what this is. This, what?
But it's funny because, like, throughout the book, she is drawn to him in a way. Like, she is also, like, interested. She's like, I don't know what your deal is.
I mean, I do give in to the temptation, but even...
Yes.
Even while they are seeing each other, she's like, look, we are exclusive.
Yeah.
I am not some toy that you get to just sleep with.
And also, you can't just be overprotective of me. Like, I am going to do what I'm going to do, and you have to be okay with that.
You gave me a job.
Yeah.
I am a guild hunter. Right. I have a job. I have a thing to...
Exactly.
I am me. Yeah. Once we do this, once we sleep together, once we fuck... Yeah. I'm not yours.
Right.
I'm not your possession.
You can't think that I am.
Exactly.
Yeah. So when he tries it, she's like, no, no.
Nope.
We're not doing that.
No, 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 no.
Exactly.
Or this is over.
Yeah.
This is no, no, no.
Yeah.
And he has a hard time with that.
Yeah, he does not like it.
He does not like that at all.
But I love his little, like, group of men. They're all men. They are all men. That is unfortunate.
This was like an early 2000s, I want to say, novel. So there was some time between.
Yeah.
This was, so... I feel like this is pretty fitting for a 2000s.
Yeah, I agree.
Novel.
And, like, they were all really interesting and diverse characters, so it didn't bother me that much. And they all have their own books. Like, they all have, that's, like, what the series is they all get their own story, which I thought was really interesting. And all of the female characters, badass, smart, interesting.
Absolutely.
Like, fully formed, complex women.
For sure.
Yeah.
I will say that.
Yeah.
I also do say that it's good that he commands such loyalty from people around him.
His ruling style is so different from any of the other archangels. Like, he is not about ruling through fear. He wants loyalty. So he brings people in that will challenge him when he's wrong. He wants someone who's strong enough to say,
yes,
I don't think this is right.
Yes.
Which really sets him apart from any of the other angels. Like, yes. Nobody else is really looking for that, which I really appreciated about him.
For sure.
Yeah.
It's just that Elena challenges him in a way.
He's not used to.
He's not used to.
Yeah.
For sure.
For sure. But so, from the get-go, he finds her interesting and strong and appreciates, even as a mortal person, how strong and independent and smart she is. And yeah. And I like that about him.
Yeah.
For sure.
I and again, in a way that made him grow and learn.
Yes.
As opposed to just fighting against.
Yeah.
In a, like,
well, I thought it was interesting, too, because he goes to one of the other archangels, Lijuan. And she is like, something's happened to me. I met this mortal woman. And she's like, you need to kill her. She's going to lessen you.
Yes.
You need to do something. And instead of doing that, he's like, you know what? No, I don't think that this is lessening me in any way. I think this is making me a different, sure.
Right.
But I'm not sure that it's a bad thing. I'm not seeing it as a weakness necessarily. So I think that also, like, so it's such a different way to see it.
Right.
As opposed to, I don't know,
right, equals. The way of seeing power.
Yeah.
That it wasn't just power.
Right.
That having that bit of weakness was not a weakness.
Right.
But maybe a bit of strength.
Yeah.
That it was interesting.
Yeah, I thought that was really cool. Yeah.
And that the men he had around him were often looked at as misfits.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But he saw them as people with strength.
Yes.
And use them as such.
Yes. He was very good at recognizing what he needed to, I don't know, support him. So it's like Dimitri's really good at recognizing the problem, solving the problem. Yes. Like, he is like the day-to-day kind of person. And then, like, Venom is kind of his, like, secret weapon.
Yeah.
He just, like, sends him in. Jason, the spy. Like they all serve a function for him, but they're all his friends. Like, yeah. He really considers them to be friends of him, and they are very loyal to him because they also see him as a friend.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And I did, it was interesting because Dimitri was the one who clocked Elena in the beginning as someone who was like, oh, you had a vampire in your past, mm-hmm. really young. Maybe I shouldn't do this to you anymore. Sorry.
Yeah.
Because when guilt, so Elena is something called a vamp, like she's a hunterborn.
Yeah.
And hunterborns have like very few weaknesses. And one of them is that very old vampires have like a lure. They can seduce you.
Yeah.
With like a scent. And Dimitri was totally.
Oh, he was messing with her every time.
Totally trying to seduce Elena because he's like, you're not after my man. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm loyal to Raphael.
I'm going
to
protect him at all costs.
I don't know who you are. Mm-hmm. I'm going to protect him.
Yep.
So he's trying to seduce Elena. And Elena's not having any of this shit.
No.
Because she's a fucking vampire hunter. She knows her business.
She's the best at her job, basically. She is. Yeah.
And she's not putting up with this shit. And then he realizes how sensitive she is to it. Because he's, like, not even doing it half the time. She's just literally walking around.
Yeah.
But he's old. And he just is admitting it half the time.
Without even realizing it. Yeah.
And he's like, you must have been exposed to this really young.
Yeah.
Which she was.
Yeah. That's her traumatic past
coming back. Traumatic past mm-hmm. coming back to haunt her.
Yeah.
So, yeah. That's a whole... that comes... We don't even really learn about that for books.
It takes a long time for her to even talk about it.
Yeah.
Like, even when... Like, she's intimate with Raphael and she has a nightmare and he's like, what is happening? And she's like, can't talk about it yet. And he just goes, okay, you'll talk about it when you're ready, I guess.
But it's bad.
Yeah.
Bad news.
But I do want to talk a little bit about the lore of the angels, because it's so unique.
I know, because it plays on Christianity but not.
Yeah.
Which I thought was really intriguing.
Yes.
As an ex-Christian.
Because they don't really talk about God.
There's no God. There's no Christ.
Yeah.
It's just angels. It's just
angels.
And I really liked that, actually.
I agree. I found it fascinating.
Really appreciated that there was no higher being.
Yeah.
There was no redemption. Mm-hmm. It was just angels.
Yeah. It drew me in immediately.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I really liked that about
this. And I liked it too because the first book especially, which is what we're talking about, like, you don't really understand what purpose the vampires serve. Like, you know that they're servants of the angels in some way and they're, like, somehow related, but you don't really know how until right. the very end, and Elena's broken, destroyed, like, gonna die, and Raphael is just spilling all of his secrets to her. And it's just like, here's all the secrets because I know you're gonna die.
Exactly.
It doesn't mean anything. I'm just trying to keep you alive for as long as I can. Right. And then, of course, she doesn't, because the ambrosia comes in. He's like, I kiss you now, and now you're an angel. But, like, it's just fascinating to me, because you look at the vampires, and, like, yeah, the newly made ones, like, they have a hard time controlling their thirst or whatever, but, like, they're fully functioning in society.
Yeah.
Like, they have jobs. They have, like, all these things that they are just, like, and, living their lives.
Well, in, like, the beginning, you're like, why is the guild hunter, like, center?
Yes.
Controlled by angels. Why are the angels sending out
yes.
humans to go hunt out yes. vampires?
Yep.
Why are the angels in control of this?
Exactly.
And no one's questioning it. Nope. It's just how it is. Yep. No one's wondering about any of this. And then at the end of the book, you go,
Oh. Yeah.
Okay.
But it all comes together so neatly and so cleanly. And
yeah.
just like, this makes so much sense.
Yeah.
I get it.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then having Urim.
Yeah.
Bad news.
Bad news.
Bad news.
So what? So the lore, again, spoilers.
Yeah.
So angels have a toxin in their blood. It just builds up naturally over time, and it takes a long time. It's not something that yes. happens, like, fast. It's slow.
Yeah.
But if you don't get rid of it by creating vampires, then you become basically insane.
Yeah, you become a bloodborne angel.
And one of the things that was confusing everybody is that a lot of the traits that Urim was having were vampire traits.
Yes.
And everyone was like, what's happening?
Yeah.
What's going on? But one of the other things is most angels that go bloodborne are just regular angels.
Yeah.
And more easy to kill or contain.
It's very rare for an archangel to have this happen.
Yes.
Yeah.
And archangels are so powerful.
So powerful.
And so hard to contain or
and
kill.
And it really takes another archangel to bring them down.
Yes.
Like, it's bad.
Yeah.
It's really bad.
And so when Urim was starting to go just completely AWOL and completely just off the rails.
Yeah.
No one knew what was going on because it was so rare.
Yeah.
And he was sacrificing people. He was taking people's hearts. And
they don't want to admit that this is something that could happen. So
right.
they hesitated so long because they just didn't want to admit that this was something that wasn't even possible.
Because they're like, this is something that we could that happened to us.
Exactly. Exactly.
This is a weakness we have.
Yes.
Which is a very human thing to
do. Yeah, it's scary. You don't want to believe it because it makes it real.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So when they brought in Elena and she's tracking him like a vampire, she's like, this is weird.
Yeah.
This person.
Yeah, because they gave her no information.
None.
They were just like, there's a possible serial killer we need you to find. And it's just like,
And then she finds a place where, like, a bunch of people's hearts are ripped out. Yeah. She's like, what is going on?
It was like 7 or 9 or I can't remember what the exact number was.
But then she meets up with Michaela, who's a whole other problem.
Let's talk about Michaela. Because she's also an archangel.
Yeah.
And she was, like, Urim's lover. Like, yeah. they were together. And she is so jealous.
So jealous.
Of Elena.
Because she also wants to be with Raphael.
I'm saying it Elena like the British do, but I think it's Elena.
I think, I don't know.
I don't know either.
I think that Nalina Singh is New Zealander. So okay. she probably says it like the British.
Okay. Well, we'll see. I don't know. Whatever. We'll just say it both ways and see.
We'll see. It is.
But it's so that, like, they're so antagonistic toward each other from the jump. Like,
Michaela hates Elena.
Hates her. And Elena's just like, I didn't do anything to you, so I fucking hate you too. Like, what are you doing?
Like, it hates her from the get-go.
Yeah.
And, like, Elena just meets her, and Michaela says something, and Elena's like, well, fuck you.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, I don't like you now.
Yeah.
I mean, it was like...
Well, and she sets her, like, little vampire, like, head vampire against her. And it's like, go get her and kill her and now Raphael's mad.
Yeah.
Like, it's a whole thing. And it's just like, Michaela, what are you doing? Like, just stop.
And Raphael tries to be like, stop doing that. Yeah. And Michaela's like, no.
Yeah. She's like, I don't know what you're talking about. Wink, wink, nudge, nudge. And it's like, okay, but I'm going to kill your vampire then.
Okay, but how much do we like Raphael's butler?
Oh, so much. He's so good. Montgomery.
I love him. I love him so much.
I know. He's so good. I will say most, like, this is why, so Raphael is like a little bit creepy and a little bit problematic, but he surrounds himself with so many people that I genuinely love.
Yeah.
Then I'm like, okay, he can't be that bad.
Because people love him.
All of these people love him. They are so loyal to him. They are willing to give their lives for him.
Well, and that's the thing, and Urim, that's what Urim uses against him.
Yes.
It's because Urim's like, okay, I'm going to take this woman.
Yeah.
Because I know that Raphael will do whatever it takes to keep her safe.
Yep.
He's going to come, no matter what, and protect her.
Exactly.
And I'm like, okay. And that's what, I mean, that's what the morally gray girly is like. Like, it doesn't matter what the cost is for the world. Right. It doesn't matter. He will come and save her at the cost of the world.
Yeah.
Because he loves her.
Exactly.
And I will admit that that is.
I mean, it's sexy.
It's hot as fuck.
It's hot. Absolutely.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Is it the best thing to do?
Probably not.
Probably not.
He destroys a big chunk of New York.
Yeah.
Which is problematic.
Yeah.
But he does send his people in to try to clear it. Like, he does.
He tries to mitigate the damage as much as possible.
He does try to mitigate the damage.
But he absolutely is like, I am going to save her.
Yeah.
No matter what.
And I mean, they have a big fight.
They do.
And he destroys Urim. And Elena's dying.
She is absolutely broken.
There is no way she's coming back from that.
And it is literally almost like a fall from grace.
Oh, yeah.
It is very symbolic.
For sure.
They are falling from the sky.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure.
It is one of the most iconic scenes I have ever read in a book.
Yeah. That's the one that sticks out in my mind the most.
There are two scenes in this book that stick out in my brain.
The initial meeting.
The initial meeting where he's trying to, like, test all of her skills.
Yep.
And then that scene where they are falling from the sky.
Yeah.
She is dying.
Yeah.
And then transforming.
And he gives up. He's like, we're going to die together then.
Yeah.
Like, he's just like, okay.
He can't save her.
Yeah.
There's no way.
Yeah.
And if he can't save her, then he's not going to live without her.
Because he doesn't even know about the ambrosia as an option.
No.
Like, that's not something that they talk about. So he doesn't even know that it's possible to change her to an angel.
And the only thing is that he, like, tastes it in his mouth. Mm-hmm. And he's like, I don't know what this is, but I'm going to kiss you.
Yeah.
And it's like, sure. It's like instinct. Accident.
It's just like instinct. I know. He's like, I don't know why, but I'm going to do this thing.
It's like the most...
Yeah. Yeah. That scene was so good.
Oh my God.
It was so good.
Oh my God.
And then, like, all the angels come and, like, take him away, and all her friends are like, what is happening?
I know. Oh, can we talk about Guild Hunter HQ, though? How Bond-like it is?
Yes.
I loved everything about it.
It was so good. It was so good.
Everything about it.
I know.
It was so Bond-like.
Yes. The one guy that, like, literally lives, like, in the basement in the center, like...
I know! He's like, wasn't he wheelchair-bound?
Mm-hmm.
And he just, like, wheels around in there.
Yeah.
And, like, just does all the technological stuff.
Yeah.
And, like, makes weapons.
Yeah.
And, like, tosses them at people.
And he knows everything from everywhere. Like, it's so good.
I loved him so much!
I know.
He was amazing!
I know.
He knew everything. He had cameras everywhere. Yeah. And I'm like, oh my God, he's cute.
He is. I know. It was so good. I know. I loved him so much. Her friend Sarah.
Oh, Sarah was amazing.
Was amazing. Like, she does not stop hounding Raphael until she can see Ellen.
Yes.
She's like, she's still alive. You have to let me see her.
I don't care where she
every is. Every day, she's bugging him about seeing her.
It's like, I don't care if you're an archangel.
I don't care who you are. Like, you need to let me see her.
Yeah.
She's not afraid for herself at all.
Yeah.
But very concerned about Elena.
Yeah.
And that is a true friend.
Absolutely.
So.
For sure.
Yeah.
100%.
Yeah.
And then who's the angel who's like in strip clubs all the time but has no wings? Who's that guy?
No wings.
He got his wings cut off.
Well, Ilium had his wings cut off, but they grew back.
Isn't he in strip clubs all the time though?
Probably. He's very attractive.
Yeah, he is. Yeah. He has a good time.
He does lose his wings again and they grow back even prettier.
Yeah, he does.
But he lost his wings because he shared a secret. Or was that Jason?
I don't think it was Jason.
No, it was Ilium. He shared a secret, like all the angel secrets.
And that's right. And he's like flirty mm-hmm. with Ilium, but it's like
loved him though. He was like the boyish, like yeah. young.
And he's flirty, but not yeah. because he's like convinced he's never gonna find love again.
Yeah. Yeah. I loved him. I will say most of the characters, like, even though the bulk of them are men, like they were really interesting and like complex people.
I do wish there were more women.
Yes.
That she could talk to as a woman.
I agree with
not
that.
Not about like boys.
I agree with that. I'm not sure that this book would pass the
Bechdel test. I was gonna say, yeah. I was doing my notes for this and I'm going and all of a sudden I went, does this pass the Bechdel test?
Which is such a small bar. Like it's so
I know. I was actually doing it and I'm going.
But I will say, as the series progresses, the women become more and more interesting and more complex.
I do agree.
Yeah.
I do agree.
So yeah. I like it's hard because the first book is always about setting up the world and the lore
which is
and
how it
the
goes.
Characters and
a lot of these like Alona Andrews
yes.
this series.
Yeah.
A lot of these have
October Day. Like there yeah. are so many things where you have to just set up all this lore.
A lot of these really long yeah. series are like this.
Yeah.
So I'm very forgiving with the
exactly.
first book.
Yeah.
Absolutely. But I do think it's really funny because actually like one of my notes I'm like
doesn't
whole
pass the
army
test.
Of loyal soldiers equal men?
Yeah.
Exactly. Where are the women besides Elena? When was this written?
I know. But it's so well written that you don't really
oh no,
think
I
about
sped
it.
Through this.
Yeah.
It was fast paced, it was
yeah.
fun.
Yeah.
I was not like it wasn't distracting.
I was never bored. I was never upset. Like there are so many books that I've read where I just get mad
yeah.
because I'm like, where are the fucking women?
No,
like,
the misogyny wasn't, there was no misogyny
no.
that was so blatant that I went, fucking hell.
Exactly.
So it wasn't so bad
yeah.
where I was like, ugh.
Yeah. It was just, for the time,
yeah.
it was what it was.
It was 2000. Exactly. And it did get a lot better as the series went
absolutely.
On.
Yeah. Yeah. I enjoyed the entire series.
Oh, God. I
yeah.
demolished the series.
yeah. It was
demolished.
So good.
And the sex.
So
was good. Really good.
Yeah. I know, the angel dust.
Oh my God, the angel dust! She woke up covered in angel dust and was like, what the fuck is this?
And he's like, sorry, I didn't mean to do that.
I loved the fact that it was the guy who was like accidentally dusting her. So I can't control the angel dust.
So sorry about that.
I really, when I get too excited, I get dusted. And she's like, ew. When I feel a little too strongly about somebody, I kind of get a little dusty. I don't know what to do
it's
about
so,
that.
I
she's like, well,
it.
Stop it.
I
don't
know.
Do it anymore.
That's so funny. That's so funny.
Oh, so I love good. It so much. Oh, my God.
I know.
Jeez.
Yeah, I really enjoyed this book. Like, I didn't expect to like it as much as I did.
It
because
was,
from the description, like, it's so hard with these books because
yeah.
you read the description and you're like, that doesn't, I don't know.
Well, and you weren't sold on the vampires either.
No, I have a hard time with vampires. I just don't find dead people sexy.
But it's not really about the vampires.
It's not at all. I mean, even the later books where
yeah.
it is about the vampires, it's not, like, that's not why they're sexy.
Yeah.
Like, it's about who they are.
Yeah.
So, it worked for me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I get it.
Yeah.
I get it.
And also the way they become vampires, like, it's just very different from what you usually get with vampires.
Agreed.
So,
100%.
I found it fascinating, for sure. Yeah. I like the way she tied it all together, and it all worked. And it came together, and you're just like, click.
Yep.
I get it. Yeah.
Yep. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely so. Agreed.
Okay, so next time, we're going to read Tentacles and Teeth.
By Rowan Merrick.
This is another Evelyn pick, so we'll see.
Oh, it's so good.
We'll see what Danielle is in for.
Oh, it's so good. No, this is actually this is really good role building. You'll like it.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm interested to see it. We'll see. But
you'll like
this is Intoxicated Literature. I am Daniela Drake.
And I'm Evelyn Crowell.
I hope to see you next time.
Woo!
Thank you for joining us for this episode of Intoxicated Literature. Drink well, friends.